Welcome to the Home Project Podcast, where we talk about cultivating a thriving home and developing meaningful relationships. I'm Kelsey Harris, a therapist in training.
And I'm Alicia Anderson, an intentional homemaker, helping women feel confident and authentic home life.
This is where everyone has a seat at the table.
A few weeks ago, we did something fun to our living room. We did a technique called color washing. Do you know what that is?
No,
it's actually, color washing? I think it's derived from England. It's where you take paint and you paint the ceiling, the walls, and your baseboard all the same color.
Oh.
Yeah. And we had done a little sample of it in our bedroom. We have this little kind of nook where right now our dogs live, but I have a dream of it being like my reading nook or something. And so I wanted it to feel kind of library-esque. And so we said, well, let's try it in there. And if we like it, then we'll move to the living room and do it there. So we did it in that little room and it looked amazing. And I fell in love with it.
Wait, what? You did the same color?
No, not the same color, but the same technique. Color washing.
I thought that part of your room was like green.
You can see the puzzled look on your face.
I was very confused. I'm sitting here going, okay, but the living room was like kind of tan.
Yeah.
And then,
so like, we did a similar thing, but with a different color in the living room. And it looks amazing.
It does look really
good. It makes the room feel bigger, but also cozier. Everything, we moved into this house in April and everything was the builder grade white, you know, the whatever it is, the Dove white or from Sherwin-Williams or whatever. And I like the light colors, but I also like to put my own touch on it. So I've been sitting on the living room for a while going, this just has no personality and it needs some love. So Jamie and I went out and we were like, what can we do? And so we decided to do this technique. And we actually bought a different sheen for the baseboards and like there's a door that goes out to the deck. But to be honest, you can't really tell the difference. I thought it would be a little bit more shiny, but
is it also like it kind of breaks up the room and defines it as its own?
Yes.
Because like you walk in and you like hallway and then it's kitchen, dining room, living room, and they're all connected.
Yeah.
And there's not really any... There's no dividing walls in between.
Yeah.
And I feel like that helps it.
It kind of gives it like, this is a separate space.
Thing.
Yeah. So watch our Instagrams because we're about to put some pictures of it up there.
Absolutely. Well, today is Cultivating Unity in Marriage Part 2. We said we were going to give it to you. So here it is. To recap last week's episode, if you haven't listened, I do encourage you to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
But just to briefly touch on where we're coming from. Number one, unity and union is God's plan. You can find it in the scriptures. It says, a man and a wife shall leave their families and join as one flesh. Number two, unity is two people showing up with their full identities, surrendered to a union. So becoming a team, not necessarily you not losing your whole identity in this thing called marriage, but bringing and teaming up with your full personalities. Number three, you have to work to be healthy yourself before you can grow together in your unity and marriage. And number four, connection grows unity. So bonding over fun experiences, making sure that you're dealing with conflict and not sweeping things under the rug. That is a very, very short and spark notes version of what we talked about last week. But today we're going to just dive a little deeper and a little further into some other important aspects of unity and marriage.
So today we are going to talk about unity in parenting, in our finances, and in sex and intimacy in the bedroom. Dun, dun, dun.
Not me feeling awkward because I'm with my mom.
So first, before I do that, though, I just want to come back to a scriptural foundation because obviously unity is a foundational piece of building a strong foundation for our family and even just the way that we reflect marriage to the world. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Mm. So how we keep unity in our marriage is through peace.
Yeah.
And how we have peace is by a lot of these steps that we're talking about in creating an environment that is peaceful and being on the same page with one another.
Amen.
And I think also this is a really important piece, recognizing that the enemy would love to bring anything that would bring disunity. So sometimes being aware that we are living in a world that is a spiritual force and we are either partnering with what the Lord says or we are partnering with the lies of the enemy. And so when we understand what the word says about unity in marriage, it gives us an opportunity to walk in the light, to walk in the truth, and not partner with the things that bring disunity in our relationship.
Yeah.
So when it comes to parenting, my kids are grown. Obviously, we've shared that before. And so some of this is just my past experience. Now my kids are grown. This is not relevantly current for me, but it is still something that is a very important topic to cover. In Psalm 133:1, it says, "Look at how good and pleasing it is when families live together as one." I think one of the most important things about parenting is in unity, is recognizing that the principle from the top down, and John Maxwell talks about this in leadership, and I think it plays well into the family element as well. Whatever the top level, meaning the parental roles, wherever they are, that filters from the top down. So if you're in disunity and you're not in peace with one another, that's going to filter down into your kids. So we have to work really hard in parenting to make sure that we stay in unity together, that we have conversations, we talk things out. Mm. Practically, what does that look like? Now, I recognize like the way that I was raised versus the way that Jamie was raised, my husband, was very different. We naturally sometimes lean to what we've grown up under. Even if we didn't like that style of parenting, sometimes it's easy for us to default to what we know.
Because it's all you know.
Right. So what's really important in parenting is that you are able to talk about those things with your spouse, preferably not in front of the children at this point. Like to be able to say, maybe you don't have kids yet and it's something you want to talk about now. I know it always feels different when the kids are there and you're like, the things you thought you wouldn't do, you find yourself doing. But constantly having a dialogue, like, hey, what's working in our parenting style? Maybe look at having like a weekly or monthly kind of just touch point with one another when the kids have gone to bed. And
a marriage meeting.
A marriage meeting, yeah. Specific around the children. Like, what's working with the kids? What are some things we see are not working that we maybe need to address? And how are we going to come together as a team and work on that? And in those moments where you're not agreeing, it's like, what is the compromise? What do you need to be willing to do? And especially discipline. This is a really big one. And this is an area where Jamie and I had a lot of discussion. I was definitely far more lenient. And he was always...
Really?
Yes. So because I would give in easily, or I would like not follow through as well as I should have.
You know what? No, that's fair.
Yeah. Where if like he would have said like, if you do this, this is going to happen. And I'm like, well, you know, or I used to say this one, this is a really bad line. But when I worked from home when you were little, so dad would make the punishment that he was taking away TV. And I said, that's actually a punishment to me, not them.
You're like, please don't do that for me.
Because actually, I'm the one working from home. And now what are they supposed to do? Especially you, because Jaden would just go off and play by himself. You wanted to interact and like, talk to me, play with me, play with me. So when you took away the TV, I was like, oh, yikes, now what?
You know what I do remember is we were spanked as children. It's okay. I know there's a lot of controversy about spanking. I grew up just fine. I'm not afraid of anything, whatever.
Yep.
But I do remember being like, mom was like too scared to like really spank us because she didn't want to hurt us. So instead it would just like almost tickle and
you
make
would
us
laugh. Yep.
So me and Jada would be like, no, okay, you have to be like serious and like pretend cry, like make her think it really hurt, because otherwise she's going to tell dad when dad gets home that he'll spank us. And that was way worse of an experience. So if we did laugh like while she was spanking us, then she's like, well, then when dad gets home, and we're like, no, because we knew that would hurt so much more. But I wanted to say something that you guys did really well that from my perspective as the child,
yes,
that I remember is like your unity and being a team when it came to decisions was always very present. I never felt like you guys were saying different things. The only time that applied was when I was learning to drive. You guys taught me different ways.
Oh, yes.
But when it came to like me asking you something, even if now I'm realizing, even if you had a different opinion, you'd be like, well, we need to ask dad about that. Well, like I never felt like, oh, well, yeah, mom will say this to me and then I can throw that in dad's face. It was like, no, whatever their decision is their decision. And looking back now as an adult, I'm recognizing like, oh, you did a great job at like deferring to your husband and submitting to your husband in the moments.
Yeah, which is a really good point. You need to honor your spouse over your children. What I mean by that is your children in a very few short years, trust me, it goes faster than you think. I know everyone says that. But suddenly one day they will leave home and it will be you and your spouse. So this is why we say over and over, and this is why even unity in marriage is so important, because one day the children will, the season with them at home and being a part of your forefront of your attention and your daily routine, they will no longer be there. They'll still be in your lives, obviously.
I'm over your house like 5 times a week. Yeah.
But it will look different. You know what I mean? So we have to cultivate and work really hard to maintain that relationship. So when I say honor your spouse over your children, if you guys have had a discussion about the way you're going to parent the kids and you've come to an agreement, then sticking to that in a moment is honoring your husband over your children. And it says, I respect you enough to stick to our agreement. Hold firm.
Hold the line firm.
Yes, that's important. Establish common goals and values in raising your children. So again, it comes back to having open discussions. Talk about things that maybe you experienced in your childhood that were harmful and hurtful and why, or things that were done well that you hold value to, so that when you are in the moment with the kids, you can know that you're on the same page together. Practicing humility when you mess it up, because we are human beings and we are going to make mistakes. So two things with that, like I want you to know it's important to be quick to go back to your husband and say, or your wife and say, I'm really sorry. I know we had made that agreement and I didn't stick to it in the moment. That was not my heart. My heart was to honor you, because that brings the unity back together rather than creating the divide or putting the wall up between you. Also, being quick to apologize to the children, like, hey, I'm really sorry I disrespected your dad in front of you. That also speaks to the unity. And I remember there were times where I either would say something to Jamie in front of the children that was rude, disrespectful, unkind. And many times I didn't get it right. But I have remembered specific times where I go back and say, hey, I shouldn't have talked to your dad like that in front of you. I shouldn't have like gone against what dad said. Mm-hmm. One, it sets the precedence for the kids that the marriage is top and that comes down from there, but sets a tone that says, this is where the respect and honor lies. So.
And I remember that, like, not everything was perfect, and we've talked about that before, but a few of the things I do remember is you guys having so much grace for us when we messed up, but also to always, like, you always were coming in apologizing to us or, like, being quick to be like, oh, okay. Like, you weren't too high on your horse that you, like, couldn't include us in real conversations like that.
Yeah.
So.
I think, too, we recognize the different family dynamics that we grew up in. So Jamie grew up in a family where everything was on the table. They talked about everything. And sometimes it got a bit heated or it would become very tense. I grew up in a family where everything was behind closed doors. Like, I never, very rarely saw my parents argue or make up or discuss or any of that. And I'm not saying one's better or worse. I'm just saying they're different. But when we got married, we were like, what do we want it to look like for us? So while we made plenty of mistakes along the way, one of the things we determined is if we fight in front of the kids, if that happens, or we want them to see the reconciliation on the other side, because we want them to know that even if there's tough times, like, this is what happens on the other side of that.
Which definitely is another thing that I remember. Like, seeing some of the fights were scary sometimes. In the middle, like, just in the middle of it, of like, what's going on? But then also quickly after, you guys would both come and be like, hey, we're okay. And like, would talk us through it. I think that helped me be like, oh, okay. Yeah. Marriages are not perfect. I know that. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Or like, you talk about things and it's okay. And that's been helpful in my own marriage, I think, even subconsciously.
Yeah. That's great. So have a plan. Talk about it. And really, the importance of being on the same page together and what that looks like. And also, I would encourage you to invite Holy Spirit into the mix.
Yeah.
Obviously. I feel like that should have been point number one. When you don't know what to do, ask the Lord, ask the Lord for wisdom. And there is this another element of this, like every child is different and the way they respond to correction and love is different. So sometimes the things we did with Kelsey did not work for Jaden because their personalities were completely the opposite. So sometimes it's navigating those changes together, being aware together, and then saying, okay, how are we going to pivot? Yeah. Like, and it's not that you punish one stronger than the other, but it looks differently maybe. You know what I mean? Grounding Kelsey was like her whole world was coming to an end because she was a social being. Where Jaden loved to be at home. So that didn't feel like a punishment to him. Yeah, whatever. I'm already home. And, you know, so I think just the importance of like recognizing that every kid is different and like just coming up with a plan together, what that looks like.
I can't wait to have kids and see what my parenting is going to be like.
I know you're going to be amazing. You're going to do great things. Unity in finances. This is another big one. I know they say one of the biggest stresses in marriage and obviously one of the biggest conflicts is often finances.
Yeah.
Again, communication between one another is such a big piece. So establishing financial goals and priorities as a couple. And I think putting pen to paper with some of these things are always helpful because it gives you something to come back to. And when you're tempted to like go buy something, you're like, well, does this go to our financial goals? Yeah. If our financial goal is to buy a house, but we keep spending our money frivolously on whatever, shopping or, shoes, whatever. Like, so together you're working as a unit to work towards a common goal. Tithing is a very big piece. It's the importance of honoring God in your marriage. When we were first married, this was something that we had determined that we would do from the get-go. And we were actually pregnant with you. And I remember one day we were in church and we literally had $1.86 in our checking account. We didn't have any savings. We had no other money. And that day our pastor preached on finances and tithing and the importance of giving God your first fruits. And I remember looking at Jamie and saying, I think we're supposed to give our last $1.86. And back then you put a check in the mail, in the offering, like they didn't have give on your phone or anything like that. And he agreed, like we came into unity and we're like, yes, we're going to give this $1.86. I'm pregnant with you. Obviously we hadn't bought groceries for the week. We weren't getting paid for a few days. It was like, it felt scary. Yeah. It felt risky because it felt like we were literally giving the last bit of bread we had. Not that I could have bought much with $1.86, but
so we maybe back then.
Yeah. Could have bought some ramen. Too funny. So we wrote the check and I remember writing the memo, it's all we have, Lord, but we're giving it to you. And we put it in the offering and we just agreed together in prayer that God would see our needs. So our pastor used to always say this, Jehovah Jireh means the God that sees it and sees to it.
Yeah.
So not only does he see our need, but he sees to it. He will come after that. It's raining in the background. I don't know if you can hear, but it's really loud.
I'm like, oh my goodness. It's a nice soundtrack.
Yeah. So we gave this money. And that day, not even a few hours later, after church, a woman who knows us but doesn't know us well came up with an envelope. And she said, I felt like the Lord said I needed to give this to you today. And we opened the envelope and there was $500 cash.
Wow.
And she said, I know you're pregnant and you need to eat well and take care of yourself. And the Lord wanted you to know he sees you and he sees your sacrifice. And that spoke to me and it spoke to my husband. And we were like, we will never be afraid to be generous or to give away what we have because we know that the Lord will see us and see to our need.
Yeah.
And that set a precedence in our marriage of generosity. Even when we started with the smallest mite that we had and we gave to the Lord and watched how he multiplied that.
Yeah.
So tithing and giving and being generous is a really important part of that.
I agree.
But also do it in unity, like be in agreement together.
Don't just give away all your money without talking to your husband.
So whenever we feel like God's asking us to give, we kind of, I say, play a game with each other. But we're like, okay, let's both write it down and show each other. And so we'll do that. Like we'll put it in our phone or write it on a piece of paper. And 9 times out of 10, we have the same amount. But if we don't, then we have an opportunity to work that out together.
Yeah.
Like, well, what do you think? Maybe we can meet in the middle of that. Or maybe, we come to an agreement so that when we give it, it's given without bitterness or resentment or not like, well, I didn't feel like we were supposed to give them that much. But, we have peace about that.
I also think that there is so much beauty in coming into unity with tithing, because even the moments like where you both agree to do something, then when it's walking it out, if one of you is it's getting harder, then you have a partner who's in that trench with you and is like,
yeah, that's
no,
great.
But remember when we gave our $1.86, look what the Lord did when we did this. And that's like, I think growing up with you guys as such generous people, that's something I've taken on. And me and Jordan have been very like, we're like, Lord, stretch us. And he sure does. And we're like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it always, it gets a little bit easier each time because I'm like, oh, but the stacks of stories I have now, if we gave this, or we gave this, or we did this, and then how much more does he return? And it's just so much more beautiful that we are doing it together and not, oh, I'm over here like trying to budget in this tithe, but my husband doesn't want me to. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's something too, and this is maybe a little bit beyond the unity and finances, but it is talking about a legacy of generosity in your family.
Yeah.
My grandparents were generous people. They actually kept a thankful log of times when God asked them to give, and then they watched what he did. And they didn't give to get.
No, not at all.
But it was a place of remembrance and a testimony of his goodness in their lives and the fact that they chose to be in unity and be generous together. And when my grandpa passed away, the Christmas after he passed away, my sister helped my grandma put together a book about the seed.
Yeah.
It's called the Book of the Seed or something. And it's all the stories of God's faithfulness in their lives.
Yeah.
And so I think about the stories that we get to create for our family, for our children, for legacy, for generations to come, because like that's something I can pass on to you. You can pass on to you. Like, this is how we've seen God show up in our family, because we chose to be in unity in our finances and be generous. Obviously, creating a budget and sticking to it. And I don't want to stick a lot on this one because I think that that looks different for different people. But there are a lot of great places out there that you can find help in making a budget and sticking to it. And I'll speak to the women too. Like, hey, I like to shop. I know it's fun to shop. But there have been seasons where I know I don't have the money to shop. And so part of honoring the unity in marriage is, if you don't have the funds, don't spend it.
Yeah.
Show a little bit of self-discipline and self-restraint. And that can be hard at times. It can be sacrificial.
Yeah.
But I would rather have peace in our marriage than have bought something. And I have done this where I've bought something when I probably shouldn't have. And then at the end of the month, we're like, wow, we're in a pinch. Especially when our younger days, when we were living penny to penny. And then it just created this tension between us that didn't need to be there. And honestly, looking back, I'm like, it just was a bunch of stuff that didn't even matter. Like, in the moment, it felt like it did, but really didn't. Showing grace to one another when mistakes are made, that is an important piece. We are not the judge of one another.
Yeah.
And finding a way to just have compassion in those financial decisions. And when you've blown it, even as a couple, saying, Lord, forgive us. Help us as we move forward to make the right decisions. Trusting God for his provision, his stewardship of resources.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about that one? Okay.
I don't think I'm newer into the managing finances thing. And I think a lot of what I've learned is just from you and budgeting. I'm great at making a budget. I need to get a little bit better at sticking to it.
Yeah.
But I feel like Jordan and I I mentioned last week, like, one of the most compliments that we get is that we are a team, but it really translates into every area. Like, he trusts me, I trust him. So we're kind of like, yep, okay. Sure. Like, that doesn't make sense, but sure. Like,
yeah.
Or, oh, you've heard from the Lord? Well, I haven't heard that, but okay. Like, I trust you. Yeah. So let's go with that.
Yeah.
And we've seen, I mean, I am shocked at people that don't talk to each other about their finances. Like, it's such a natural part of, like, we have separate accounts from when we were like unmarried, but we have joint accounts that we've created, and that's all we really use. The other ones kind of just sit as whatever side ones. And I'm like, what? Like, when you were in the beginning, I'm like, yeah, I guess people don't talk about it, but I don't know why you would not, because our lives are so, there's no tension, hardly any tension around finances, because we're just like on the same page.
That's great.
So yeah, I disagree with you.
And I think I'm not saying you should or shouldn't have joint or separate accounts, but I do think there's something when it's joint, like we've always had joint accounts.
Yeah.
Occasionally in seasons we've had a separate account, but it's not to hide something from our spouse. It was for a specific reason or whatever, like Kelsey said, something they had before.
I just haven't even closed it.
But our finances are open book to each other. And honestly, like, so many seasons I've worked, but then there have also been seasons where I haven't worked. I've been mom at home. And I want to be a good steward of my husband's hard work.
Yeah.
And I know that not every mom doesn't work, you know, but like we've put a lot of our time and effort into making finances. And so we want to honor God, but we want to honor each other in the time and effort that they've put into making those funds as well.
It also feels a little hard. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't personally know anybody that does the, well, this is my money and this is your money and you'll pay for this and I'll pay for that. I'm like, yeah, I did that when we were dating. Like, oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll pay for this date. You pay for this one. But I'm like, what? When you're married? No, like it's all your money together, especially for when seasons change and things like that. But you can also like something that's helpful in your budgeting is if you give like a portion to each other for like fun money, even if you taught me this. Like,
yeah, it's a Dave Ramsey principle.
Even if it's like, what, $20?
Yeah.
Like a week or a month or something. At least it's like, hey, this is your money. Like, you don't have to check with me. Like, you can do whatever you want. So then I guess if we don't really do it because it's just more annoying, but we could transfer it to our separate account. So it feels like this is my.
Or I know, like, I get around Christmas and things like that. But we used to either take out cash and give one another cash or find a way.
So you don't know what you're buying.
Like, yeah. So there are ways around that. But just stick together with it. You know what I mean?
Stay unified.
Yeah. And like we had kind of it's changed over the years as our lives have changed and our finances have changed, but especially in the beginning days when finances were really tight, we had like I won't go spend more than this amount. I think it was like $100 or something without having a conversation with you.
Right.
Or like if I'm going to go shopping, I'll say, babe, is there money in the budget for me to...
Yeah.
You know, and then I would stick to that.
Or shopping today?
So that one, we didn't throw each other off, but we stayed in unity with that. So, okay. Now we're going to talk about unity and sex and marriage. And Kelsey's over
Woo-hoo.
Here. Sex and intimacy. Over here turning blush. No.
I literally am. I don't know. I was raised conservatively in this area. Okay.
Yes.
Like due to the environment, not necessarily you guys, but like.
Yeah.
And I just feel awkward. Also, you're my mom, so I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
Hey, it's how you got here.
It's fine. Anyways, you go ahead. I'm just going to say here.
So we're going to just touch briefly on this one today, probably go into a more in-depth in another time. But I think being able to talk to one another about sex and intimacy and discussing your desires and needs and even just healthy boundaries within your marriage, what does that look like, are really important. A friend said it to me this way, like creating guardrails in your marriage so that you know where the bumpers are, you know, what is acceptable, obviously biblically before the Lord, and how do we honor one another? But also how do we create that safe space in the bedroom where we both feel seen, we both feel loved? And sometimes that takes a lot of work and sometimes it's not working great. And so this isn't a do A, B, and C and your sex life will be great.
It'll be fine.
This is a journey. This is a conversation that happens on a regular basis in our lives. And we have to say like, hey, is this working? Does this feel like we're meeting each other's needs? Is this something that we need to change? And there have been tough seasons, like because of stress, because of exhaustion, where I didn't feel like showing up on a regular basis, or maybe things, you know, just weren't gelling together like they always do or whatever. So in those moments, like not judging one another, but creating a bit of safety to protect one another and even just saying, well, what do you need from me right now? What's important? What's a way that I can meet your needs? And being able to be vulnerable with one another, because I think it's the area where creates the most connection, but also we can feel the most vulnerable and most disconnected if we're not careful.
Yeah.
Prioritizing intimacy and making time for each other. Now, I know as that when I was a young mom, this was a hard thing. We're tired. We have long hours. Husbands come home and we've been serving the children all day, especially when they were younger, babies and things. And I remember sometimes at night thinking, I have nothing left to give.
Like, no, I do not want to have sex.
So this is my pro tip. Invite Holy Spirit to help you. And I'm not kidding.
It sounds so weird when you say it, but I know that it's so right.
So sex and marriage is holy.
No, yeah, but we live in a world that have dirtified.
Tainted it, yes.
All of sex. So it just makes it feel like, but it's
like, this is true. Sorry. I remember moments where I just felt like I had nothing left to give. I had no desire for sex or for intimacy, but I knew that my husband needed it. And I wanted to be that for him. So I would literally pray this simple prayer. Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you create a desire within me right now to love my husband, to be fully focused, solely focused on him? Mm-hmm. And the moment I would start to engage, we would start to just spend time with one another in the bedroom. I would watch that thing would flip it on its head. And the Lord would meet me in that place. And I would feel that desire. I would feel the strength that I needed to sort of be present. And so I think just choosing to put God in the middle of it, as strange as that might sound for some of you, maybe that's just not a concept that you've thought of or heard, but it's a holy place. It's a place where it's an act of worship in our marriage before the Lord. And so inviting him into that space, inviting him in to be a part of just that unity that's there is important.
Yeah.
It's the place where you don't want to bring in the tough conversations. Like, not the time to talk about the kids and what they did. And you know what I mean? It's learning to be focused on one another, but also talk about what is a good regular schedule for us? Like, what do we need to do to make sure? I have had friends who literally put it on the calendar because they have young kids and no shame to that. Like, that's
sick of time.
Yeah, if that's what you need to Wednesdays. Do, go for it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's funny. I actually want to say here, I think what you think you're saying, find out what works for you.
Yes.
We live in a world where things are very tainted through social media, and especially a lot of people that are talking about sex are not Christians.
Yes.
So all you're seeing is whatever the social norm of what society has deemed normal.
Yes.
And I just want to, like, if you are having a different experience than what you're seeing, like, that's okay. Just figure out what's normal for you guys and take away that word normal, because who really gets to say what a normal sex life looks like?
Right.
So figure out, like you're saying, your schedule, what works for you, what feels comfortable, what you can both agree on.
Yeah. And know that the seasons will ebb and flow as well. So maybe it's not as much as you'd like right now. Like, that's okay. Know that the seasons will change and that you can continue to grow in that and what that looks like. So another big one is don't use it as a reward or punishment for one another. Don't withhold because you're punishing your spouse. This is meant to be a place of connection. And so when we do that, we create this like unbalanced.
Like dynamic.
Dynamic,
and you're also kind of reducing it to something transactional or only purely physical.
Yeah.
I think when you do that, instead of recognizing the emotional connection that's also involved. So you're not, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm not going to have sex with you because this and this. It's not like you're just withholding something physical from your husband. You're also disrupting your connection.
There is a parallel between bonding science and spiritual wisdom. And even Song of Solomon, we see this. But emotional connection creates great sex. And great sex creates deeper emotional connection.
Yeah.
So just striving. Striving to recognize that, one, it's our responsibility, but it's also the greatest gift we can give one another. And I know there are so many opportunities for outside distractions, outside images, all of the things. And so creating a space that you can create safety, you can talk about it, you can really honor one another in this space will go a long way for having unity in your marriage. And if you're struggling and you don't know, like you can't, things are more difficult, I would encourage you to just seek guidance from a counselor or support from a trusted mentor or someone who can speak into your life. someone that you trust, and it's not in a way that's exposing to maybe your spouse, but like come into agreement, like, hey, we maybe just need someone to help us navigate this tough time or this season and what that looks like. Unity in marriage is foundational in every area. We've talked about a few different areas over the last couple episodes and just the importance of having unity. But unity doesn't come without a lot of hard work, a lot of prayer, a lot of commitment to one another, and being able to come together and find a place of peace that will bring the unity.
Yeah, so we'd love to hear from you. If you want to send us a message on our Instagram at thehomeproject.co, if you want to talk to mom with her wisdom, yes. And if anything that she's shared, she's happy to talk to you, or if you want to hear my newlywed side of things, yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and we truly mean that, so please feel free to reach out. And you can also join our community if you head on over to the website, thehomeproject.co. You can plug your email in there so that you can stay up to date with what's coming next. See you next week.